can't afford to have any more, that their taxes then get used to pay for people who choose to have three, four, five, six children.
Or people who have lost their jobs.
Afford to.
Or people who have lost their jobs and happen to have three or four children.
So obviously, there are social security provisions in place for people that lose their jobs. But child-specific benefit, I think, should only be capped at two children, because it's just unfair to ask people who work really hard, pay their taxes, to subsidise other people who perhaps, you know, can't afford to have extra children, maybe don't even work at all.
But it's not the children's fault, is it? You don't keep children living in poverty because you don't like the decisions their parents have made.
It's a question of fairness, and you know, I don't think it's reasonable to ask taxpayers who work really hard, probably themselves, most people are struggling to make ends meet themselves. It's not fair to ask those people who are working hard, paying taxes, to subsidise other people who've chosen to have more children than they can afford to. That's just fundamentally unfair. And by the way, the majority of the British public, by a margin of 2-1, agree with that. For reasons of fairness.
I hear.
Then get on to reasons of a full question.
We can't get on to that, I'm afraid, because we've already had a time. But appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you very much, Ed, for coming on. Would love to get into that in more detail, but we have to move on. Mr. Philp, thank you for coming on. Chris Philp is the Shadow Home Secretary. Ben Kentishere on LBC, 6 o'clock the time. Here are the headlines.
The events of last night are horrendous after what was supposed to be a joyous day.
The King says he's deeply shocked and saddened after a car was driven into crowds in Liverpool yesterday.
We will provide the opportunities for you to get on in fantastic careers like construction.
Ministers are promising tens of thousands of apprenticeships and new training opportunities in England.
We have a depopulation problem with British-born babies.
Reform UK confirms it would scrap the two-child benefit cap and reinstate universal winter fuel payments, and...
We've forgotten that marriage makes an enormous difference to society. We do need to promote and support it.
Almost half of British teenagers are now living with just one parent, as it's revealed that the UK is experiencing record levels of family breakdown. Coming up after the news, what's causing that? And is it really a problem?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 6 o'clock, it's believed a car which was driven into crowds in Liverpool last night followed an ambulance through a roadblock. A man in his 50s is being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder, dangerous driving and driving while unfit through drugs. 11 people remain in hospital in a stable condition after 65 were injured following Liverpool's Premier League title parade. George Sefton has been stadium announcer at Anfield for 5 decades. He's told LBC it was a dark end to a celebratory weekend.
It just beggars belief. You couldn't make it up. It was such a wonderful day, celebration of what we've just done. So now, I'm like nobody else. That I'm thinking that forevermore, when people talk about winning the Premier League in 2025, that's all people will remember, the disaster at the end of it, which is...
A man has been jailed for 12 years after a 3-year-old girl was killed in a crash in Manchester. Louisa Parmisano was hit by a van in the city centre in February. LBC's reporter Jess Reeves has the details.
The van had crashed into a tram, forcing it onto the pavement, veering into Lulu. She was taken to hospital with injuries but died a short time later. Rawal Rehman abandoned the van and fled the scene on Booth Street in a taxi, but he was arrested in a restaurant a few days later. The 36-year-old was sentenced to 12 years in prison for causing death by dangerous driving.
King Charles has given the throne speech to mark the opening session of Canada's Parliament. He told MPs a relationship between Canada and the US, rooted in mutual respect, will benefit both countries. The comments were written by Prime Minister Mark Carney's government. A man with a restraining order stopping him contacting one of the James Bond producers has been in court accused of breaking it. 36-year-old Daniel Wilson from Lambeth denies 11 counts of trying to get in touch with Barbara Broccoli. And the UK economy is forecast to grow this year more than previously thought. The International Monetary Fund's upgraded its outlook, with gross domestic product now expected to increase by 1.2%. But the IMF has also warned that trade tensions linked to Donald Trump's global tariffs will impact growth this year. In the city, the FTSE 100 has closed up 60 points at 87.78. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.19. LBC weather, rain clearing eastwards to leave a mostly dry night. Showers lingering in central areas with the odd shower for northwest Scotland, a low of 2. Patchy cloud tomorrow with sunny spells and the odd light shower for most. Turning cloudy and windy in the far west towards the evening, a high of 23 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Amelia Cox.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ben Kentish.
6:04, very, very good evening indeed if you're just joining me here on LBC. Ben Kentish here on drive in for Tom Swarbrick this week. Great to have your company. The number of families breaking down in this country has never been higher. That's according to new research today that reveals that an astonishing 45% of British teenagers now don't live with both of their biological parents. Almost half of British teenagers only live with one of their parents, and that is almost double the official figure. So the scale of the problem, if it is a problem, we'll come on to that, is greater by double than the official statistics suggest it is. The records suggest that it has never been higher in Britain since records began. Researchers finding that the level of family breakdown has increased fivefold since the 1970s and has now reached what those same researchers themselves are describing as epidemic proportions. This is a study by an organisation called the Marriage Foundation. And it says this: some level of family breakdown is inevitable and even welcome, but 45% should be a national scandal. What do you make of that, then? That, it seems to me there's two different elements to this. There's two different questions. The first is, what's driving this? Why is it the case that so many relationships are breaking down, that so many families are breaking apart? Why is that happening in levels that is that are unprecedented, literally unprecedented in this country? Never happened before in the proportions that we are now seeing. That's sort of question one. What do you think is driving this epidemic, as it's been described today, of family breakdown? Second question that very closely linked to it is, should we care, put simply? Should we be bothered? Should we be concerned by the fact this is going on? And if we should be, then why? Because you might well say, well, yes, more families are breaking up than in the 1970s, but that's not a bad thing. Because that is simply a symbol of more people leaving marriages that are unhappy, not staying together in miserable, loveless relationships simply for the children. And we know, of course we do, that ultimately in an ideal world, yes, children are raised by two parents living together in a happy, loving relationship. But in the real world, we also know that children living in a house that is unhappy, miserable, maybe even violent, who knows, is worse for them than their parents breaking up. So if this is just a reflection of more people ending marriages that are unhappy, then is it really right to describe it as an epidemic and a national scandal, as the Marriage Foundation have today described it as? Or is it something that we shouldn't be lamenting or worrying about? We should be celebrating even and being grateful for that more unhappy marriages are coming to an end, sparing the children the ongoing misery and the ongoing trauma of living in that household and allowing people to find new partners who they might be better suited to. I'm in two minds about this because I do firmly think that in an ideal world, kids should have two parents and those two parents should be together. I think most of us would instinctively agree with that. But I also see from friends the damage and the trauma that comes with kids growing up in a very unhappy, unloving marriage between their parents. So I don't know if this is the absolute disaster that the Marriage Foundation is making out to be. Interested in your thoughts on this. What's driving record levels of marriage breakdown and family breakdown in Britain? And is it something that you think is a major problem, a scandal, to quote the Marriage Foundation, or something that we should shrug our shoulders and say, well, what's the big deal? 0345 6060 973 is the number. One other thought is that actually we're living a lot longer than we were even 50 years ago. So if more people are no longer staying married for life, but having two or three or even four serious relationships, maybe marriages through the course of their life, as more and more people are now doing, is that just an inevitability, given that we are now living 20, 30 years longer than the last generation was. That number once more, 0345 6060 973. Give me a ring on that. WhatsApp me, text me on 84850 if you prefer, or say, Alexa, send a comment to LBC. The time is 6.09. Let's talk to Paula Roan-Adrian about this, family law barrister at Lamb Building Chambers. Paula, good to have you with us on the programme this afternoon. Let's start, shall we, with the causes. Why do you think we are in this country experiencing record levels of family breakdown?
Good afternoon, Ben. Thank you so much for having me on. So actually, I wanted to just touch very quickly on the research that we've heard so much about today from the Marriage Foundation. And there is a spoiler alert here. You've already told us, Ben, that the research tells us that, surprise, surprise, if you're in a relationship, that relationship is a marriage, that you are more likely to stay together than if you were not in a relationship. And what's interesting about this research that's come out today is that it has highlighted the fact that it's the separated families who are not married, that is where we are seeing these epidemic, in quotation mark, levels. And then you say to me, well, what are the causes? Well, remember, I deal with divorces, and over the last 25 years, what I'm seeing in terms of symptoms, I call the three A's. So we're talking about addiction, we're talking about adultery, and we're talking about absenteeism. And absenteeism will represent itself emotionally or physically, or both. Right. But remember, those are symptoms, Ben. When we talk about causes, and this is where I'm going to get controversial with your audience, I'm talking about incidences that have happened to you as a child, those adverse childhood experiences that you have not been able to deal with, that you have not been able to address, and you have carried them into adulthood. That then leads to, in my opinion, the issues with addiction, the issues around, for example, absenteeism emotionally or psychologically. And then secondly, I'd like to challenge your audience with what I see, and that's in terms of, well, where is society's support for the family? And particularly, how do we view the father in the role of parenting? Yeah. And I hear so often about the father being a support, a help. No, the father is a parent. Or how do we as a society support the father to be a parent, Ben?
Well, it's a very, very good question. It's one I don't have the answer to, but it does strike me that probably it starts by recognising the importance of dads and the importance of fathers, not as some optional extra to the main parent, i.e. mum, but valuing dads a lot more than perhaps we have for a long time.
Absolutely. And then when we look at society's policies, and I know that we've heard from Nigel Farage today, espousing the fact that we want more family-friendly policies. But then if we do that, we can't then turn around, Ben, and point our finger at parents who want to be able to stay at home to parent their children through those toddler years. We can't then turn around and point the finger at parents who are struggling to hold down two jobs and then wonder why our children are roaming the streets or are reliant on social media to parent our children.
So when you talk about those three A's, I mean, they've always existed, obviously, but they seem to be growing in severity and growing in scale. I think you're linking, Paula, that just the difficulty of life and the difficulty of raising children in the modern world to what we're talking about, which is the fact that for some families, it's just too difficult that the family ends up breaking up.
There is that, absolutely. You know, when we look at the stresses and strains on family and we look at how we have pushed the family into what is this kind of mum, dad and children, instead of reminding ourselves, and I realise that it sounds cliched, but that it really does take a village to raise a child, instead of us simply pointing the finger at that parent who, as I've said already, is juggling the two jobs, is working on a 0 hours contract, etc. No wonder that they're turning to alcohol, no wonder that they're turning to drugs, no wonder that they're becoming disengaged from their family. When where do they turn for that support and assistance?
How should we consider this, Paula? Because you've got the Marriage Foundation using language like this is an epidemic, this is a national scandal, which I people will instinctively feel, I think. On the other hand, if people are getting out of unhappy marriages in greater numbers than they once were, is that really something that's such a bad thing?
And you know what, Ben? You make a really valid point, because it's really important for us to say during this discussion that this is not about abusive relationships. Absolutely not. Yep. This is not even about those of us who are in unhappy relationships, in relationships that we do not think are supporting us in our adventures in life. So what is the problem then? Well, the problem for me is, and I come back to the point I made at the beginning, is how do we support mm-hmm. our children mm-hmm. in understanding that breakdowns will happen yep. and understanding how we support our children through that breakdown? Because, of course, we know that, unfortunately, and this is what the research tells us, that children do suffer adverse childhood experiences when their parents go through a separation or a divorce. And that links to a myriad of issues in terms of their life chances, for example, in education, for example, in their social relationships in regards to their peers, let alone when they go older and start to engage in their own intimate relationships.
Really, really interesting insight. Thank you so much for talking to us this afternoon. Paula Rowan Adrian is a family law barrister at the Lamb Building Chambers. Your calls coming in on this. What do you think is driving these record levels of marriage breakdown and relationship, family breakdown? An epidemic is how it's been described today. And how do you feel about it? Do you think it's a good thing if people are leaving marriages in a way that they just wouldn't because there was so much stigma around divorce even a generation ago? Or does it concern you that so many children, almost half of teenagers now, not living with both of their parents? Call me, 0345 6060 973. To your calls right after this, 6:15.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
Just accept we need stop and search.
Straight to the point.
This is a shocking night.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
When was the last time your party was in touch with the electorate?
Listen on Global Player or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
Combine your pensions with PensionBee and take control of your retirement. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
Ready, steady, the Toyotathon sale event is on!
Race down to your nearest Toyota centre and save up to an extra £1,000 on a new Toyota. But hurry, deals must end 31st of May. The Toyotathon sale event is on. Offer valid on eligible new vehicle orders 1st to 31st of May and registered by 31st of July 2025. Retail customers only. T&Cs apply. See toyota.co.uk for details.
I'm making a robot head with an Amazon box. I've painted it silver and Daddy helped me make it.
At Amazon, we're actually using paper bags for more of our deliveries.
And now I'm making a paper hot air balloon. And I even made a little brown basket. And I'm making a dog that looks just like Monty.
Just one of the ways we've reduced the weight of our packaging by more than 40% since 2015. Which is still good for playtime.
Mom, where's the scissors?
To learn more, visit aboutamazon.co.uk/sustainability.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot will have you dancing like nobody's watching. Yeah, baby. Just make sure nobody is watching. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app or buy in your nearest store.
Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Ben Kentish on LBC.
6:17, straight to your calls. What is driving the record levels of marriage and relationship family breakdown in this country, and should we care? John's in Leeds this evening. Hello, John.
Hello, hi. I was just saying to your producer that every time, you know, I listen to LBC quite often, and I was just thinking that all of the things, the issues that you discussed, the dilemmas going on in society and so on and so forth, a lot of it is because of the social order. A lot of it is because of the pressures on our everyday lives and so on and so forth. And families want to enjoy themselves. There's a certain expense that goes with that, whether it's the rent, whether it's the mortgage, whether it's car costs, general bills and whatever else. And the pressures on society, they simply seem to overtake the family's well-being. And that's it's almost a constant fight to actually fend off that, enjoy your life. And I think that's one of the reasons, or the main reason, that's causing family breakdown.
But I take your point about the pressures of everyday life at the moment, of which there are many, feeding into people's relationships and putting a strain on them. How could it not? And yet, we've got higher levels of family breakdown than the generation that lived through two world wars and the Blitz. You know, so there have always been pressures, and yet something fundamental seems to have changed when it comes to how families absorb and deal with those pressures.
It's simply the cost of living.
What, you think that puts more of a strain on marriages than living through the Blitz did, for example?
The Blitz obviously there was a massive camaraderie there, a spirit of togetherness, something to fight for, something to stay together for, something to win over. Mm. And once you've gotten over that, there's going to be a better time, a better life, a better place. You know, now, you know, what can we see? What's ahead? What's our hope?
So if the economy starts to finally recover, and God forbid we get some growth in this country once again, do you think we'd start to see that that trend reversing and more people ending up staying together?
If people can see the evidence of that, then yes, maybe so. Mm. But when I want to mention something. These growth rates, when they talk about a percentage, and what does the ordinary, what does the man in the street understand by that? When you're quoting these big figures,
or what do they feel? It's all well and good saying the economy's growing, but if it's all going into the hands of pension funds and hedge funds and bankers, then it doesn't do most people a lot of good. But you think, John, if people start to feel financially better off, more marriages will succeed rather than end?
Of course, because then you can enjoy life.
John, I think you speak a lot of sense. Makes sense to me. Life is hard at the moment. Life is stressful. That, of course, will affect people's relationships with their closest loved ones. How could it not? Thank you, John. To Chris in Birmingham this evening. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
Thoughts? The value of relationships has been lost completely.
The value of relationships has been lost. In what way?
Yeah. The value of relationships has been lost. Just listening to your caller just, and you're talking about, and you mentioned quite rightly, you know, two world wars, you know, very low incomes, people on the breadline. Society today, the value of a marriage, the value of a relationship, what is it really about? That's the question that people need to start answering themselves with, because when you look at it, I mean, myself personally, I've just come out of a long-term relationship, don't want to say too much about it, as I'm a caller on national radio, but...
Fair enough, Chris, I won't probe you. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly, but at the end of the day, there's children involved, okay? Mm. We went through some very harrowing times.
Can I just ask you one detail? I promise one. Were you married?
Sure. No.
Okay.
But it was long-term, 15 years. And one of the things that we went through, quite a big traumatic set of events with people passing away and so on and so forth. And all of the things that you mentioned about the Second World War and the value of family life and things like that, I look at it today and I look at it and I say to myself, well, what is the value of marriage? Okay, you fall in love, you meet somebody, you enjoy a relationship with them, you do all the fun things, you have children, you buy houses and so on and so forth. And then... once all of that sort of honeymoon period has started to peter out and you're 7 years in, 8 years in, 9 years in, where does that value still stay there? And that is the question that
it's a big question. I mean, the answer, I would say, is that yes, because traditionally marriage is a commitment. Traditionally marriage is a commitment to weather the storms together, get through the tough times as a couple. And yet, I think
it's a question of why isn't there any value?
Well,
why aren't people valuing the marital home?
But it's slightly chicken and egg, because I think you're saying, given that I think it's about half of marriages today are forecast to end in divorce, what's the point of marriage, given it's supposed to be about a lifelong commitment, and yet half of people making that commitment won't actually follow it through?
Exactly. So what is the value? So where does that value come from? And I think that what we've gone through now is we're in this generation now where the value of a marriage, it's a commitment, but it's a commitment I can get out of. So I don't think it's anything to do with finances, because myself personally, I've been through very, very poor, really terrible, dark times financially. I've bounced back from that. We've lost, you know, certain people in our families, and we've weathered all of that. Mm. Yet the relationship still fell apart. All of the wholesome things that were there, the small things, and I'm always a believer in the saying that it's the small things that matter. Okay, it's the, you know, weathering that storm together, the bond of saying, well, you know, no matter what, we've got together.
But is that? But do we want to go back to that? Because that is the mindset. I cannot get divorced. I've made this commitment. I must stay with this person, literally until death do us part. That is the mentality and the kind of doctrine, I would say, that led to an awful lot of people for an awfully long time to stay in relationships that made them thoroughly miserable, both of them, and was actively harmful to their children. So if more people are now saying, well, I did make that commitment, but actually it hasn't worked out for whatever reason, maybe things have changed, maybe it just wasn't right in the first place, I'm off. Is that a bad thing, Chris?
Well, let me throw you a curveball. Okay.
Go on, we like a curveball. Chuck us a curveball.
I experienced things in my own personal relationship.
Hmm. Oh, Chris, you still there?
Yep, still here.
Go on, you experienced things in your own personal relationship that...
Yeah, I experienced my own things in my own personal relationship that I shouldn't have done. I experienced... I was the glue.
Right.
I was the thing that held it together.
Right.
And I, as I say, experienced things and I was resorted to things that, you know, I don't think personally anybody in any relationship should ever have to put...
I'm sorry to hear it, Chris.
Well, that's just...
Oh, Chris, we're losing you, I'm afraid. But it's a really interesting call, and I hope things work out well for you. Take care of yourself. Chris, coming out there of a long-term relationship. Thank you for the call, Chris. Alice is a new caller in Esher, I should say. Forgive me, Alice. In Surrey. Hi, Alice.
Hiya, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. What do you make about this? Why do you think more and more families are ending up separated?
I think I've been listening to a couple of callers who've come on and talked about the cost of living, and this most recent caller talking about the sort of value of relationships. And I think they're valid points, but I think there's a massive part to play that women have more autonomy now than we have before, particularly in the UK. You know, we have much more financial decisions. We have a lot more decisions over our careers. Careers are just as important. You used to have a lot more women who are more likely to be staying at home with the children, sacrificing their careers.
Mm.
We've now got a lot more of that equality in terms of women, you know, yes, going out being the breadwinners and having their careers and that being important and being able to have children later in life. And I think if there is value in talking about the cost of living having an impact. I've just had a daughter myself. She's 6 months. The decisions over nursery, things like that, when I go back to work, things like that are really important. But I do think some callers are missing the point that women, and I know relationships break down for lots of reasons. It's men leaving, it's women leaving. But women have a lot more control over their lives now than they have before.
They're less dependent on men who they might not want to be in a relationship with anymore. And that's why I come back to, is it, I mean, and it's true of both sexes. There are men walking out on relationships they might once have not done, and a lot of women too. Is that a bad thing necessarily? Because I don't think it is.
Yeah. I have some close friends who have left very bad relationships, getting divorced, you know, and the financial element of going through a divorce is atrocious, particularly for women.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a piece in Sky News recently in the news this week about how should divorces be 50-50? Because women tend to, particularly when children are involved, they tend to prioritise the marital home in divorce proceedings and lose out financially. And particularly if they've taken on care and responsibilities, their financial earnings have taken a huge hit. Their career earnings, their career potential has taken a huge hit. And then when the divorce comes, it goes 50-50. And it's like, hang on, they've just maybe spent 7 years raising children.
Yes.
And haven't got the earning potential that perhaps the men do. And I do think that women and men, and I say this both, again, I speak as a woman, but anyone leaving a relationship, you don't have to stay in these relationships any longer. And I know we were talking about, you know, back in when there were world wars and things, women couldn't vote. We didn't have bank accounts.
And a lot of them were stuck in very miserable and very unhappy marriages. And if fewer of them were, and men as well, I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Ali, just before I let you go, let me just put this WhatsApp to you that's coming from Rachel. She said, Ben, a lot more people are now just out for themselves and their own happiness. They put that first these days. There's very little staying power and sacrifice for others. I think Rachel's there saying that I interpret that as even if it's not the happiest marriage, there is some value and sacrifice in staying in it, Alice.
I think it's a very personal thing to be saying, you know, people should be sacrificing. We get one precious life, you know. sacrifice for what? To be able to, on your deathbed, say, well, I was miserable, but at least I reached my diamond anniversary.
Fair point. Alice, I mean, I guess there's a sacrifice that some people say, well, I stayed for the children. But actually, if the marriage is very unhappy, is it always best for the children? The evidence suggests not. Thank you, Alice. Brilliant, brilliant first call. I agree with everything you said. Let's talk to Richard in Manchester this evening. Hi, Richard.
Hi, I was just interested to hear with the WhatsApp comment that came through, and it sort of struck a chord with me because it seems to me, and I am of the older generation, but someone that's been married for nearly 40 years, raised children, take the view that there seems to be an era of immediate gratification in just about everything that everybody wants to do. And if they can't get their immediate fix of gratification, whatever that is, through social media, through getting the job that they want, there's no sort of like working hard to achieve the goal. And I think
yes, but I don't think anybody gets divorced on a whim. I don't think they're just saying, I'm a bit bored, I'm off. Divorce is something that people do after a lot of heartbreak and a lot of rumination and a lot of time often. It's not something that people just do because they sort of can't afford to not be gratified for a few weeks, is it? I don't think it is.
It seems to me that the statistics from the marriage guidance that you were talking about are referring specifically to the disproportionate number of cohabitees that are separating and breaking the family or causing the family breakdown.
I don't think necessarily. You're saying what, the people who are actually legally married are less likely to break up?
Yes, I think that is what I'm saying. I think that I think people who cohabit somehow have a notion that it's not quite as serious, it's not quite as committed as a marriage. I'm not saying you should stay in an unhappy marriage or in an unhappy cohabitation, but I do feel that it's a bit easy, it's a bit less committed, and I think people are less resilient and they're less willing. And of course, there is the other issue that a lot of these people seem to think the other man's grass is greener.
And there's a lot of that as well, but there's always been a lot of that, hasn't there? Let's put that out there, Richard. It's an interesting point that people who aren't legally married but are in a long-term, stable, committed, cohabiting relationship somehow lack that resilience, was your word, Richard, that married couples do. If you are in that situation, do you think Richard's got a point, or do you want to dispel that notion? Thank you, Richard. Call me 0345 6060 973. Ben Kentish in for Tom Swarbrick here on LBC. After the news.
I should know where my voice is and who owns it and have the right to withdraw consent.
A voiceover artist says she feels violated after her voice data was used for ScotRail's new AI train announcer without her permission. Bring the details on that after the news headline. 6:31 the time, Amelia Cox.
Police are questioning a man in his 50s on suspicion of attempted murder and drug driving after a car was driven into people in Liverpool. 11 people are still being treated in hospital after it happened following Liverpool's Premier League title parade. Police are investigating the death of a woman who collapsed on a bus in North London 8 weeks ago and later died in hospital. They're examining whether a number of alleged offences may be linked to Nuala Mills' death. And the King says a relationship between Canada and the US, rooted in mutual respect, can deliver transformational benefits for both countries. Charles is only the second monarch to give an address at the state opening of Canada's Parliament. LBC weather, rain clearing eastwards to leave a mostly dry night, showers lingering in central areas with the odd shower for northwest Scotland, a low of 2 degrees.
LBC, this morning on Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
A confusion, a puzzle, a bewilderment of U-turns, but are there some more? Is there another one on the way?
Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson joining us. It is reported that pressure is mounting on the Prime Minister to scrap the two-child benefit limit.
And the commentators who are saying that this is driven by Nigel Farage and some of his policies to try and attract Red Wall or Labour voters, how would you respond?
But Nigel Farage has never been on the side of working people. He opposes the measures that we are introducing that will help working people. For example, our employment rights bill that will give more people rights at
He doesn't agree with the two-child benefit cap, Secretary of State.
Well, he flip-flops on all of this. He's backed it in the past. And
doesn't your government flip-flop a bit?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back tomorrow morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees, like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips?
Sometimes, pal, your best bet is not to bet at all. And BetVictor's app makes it really easy, simple and safe to do so. They've got lots of helpful features to help you manage your time and your spend online. But it also really helps that I can't find my blooming phone half the time.
Yeah, that does really help.
I don't even know where it is now. I can hear it, but I can't see it. Sandra?
Listen to Harry and please gamble responsibly. 18+ gamblerware.org.
Hillary's mid-season sale just got even better. Get up to 40% off hundreds of made-to-measure styles. Plus, get an extra 10% off absolutely everything. That's 10% off all blinds, curtains and shutters. And an extra 10% off our new range of awnings and pergolas, with measuring and fitting always included. Book your free in-home appointment today. Visit hillarys.co.uk. Hurry, Hillary's extra 10% off everything must end 2nd of June. Conditions apply.
Ben Kentish on LBC.
6:34, interesting WhatsApp from Alex. Ben, when my first wife decided that our marriage wasn't right, we had two children under 3 years old and a third conceived that we didn't know about at that point. I fought for us to stay together, but ultimately it was the best thing she could have done for us all. We're now both very happily remarried and the children are far happier. Conversely, a friend of mine spent at least a decade in a marriage that should have ended. I thank my ex for having done the right thing, despite thinking at the time how it was wrong. Alex there on WhatsApp. That Alex is part, according to the Marriage Foundation today, of a national scandal. A national scandal of more families ending up getting separated, ending up getting divorced, breaking down. I don't think that's a scandal. I think that is a healthy thing to do if the relationship is as unhappy as Alex is describing there. So when it comes to these record levels of family breakdown in Britain today, and we are seeing record levels revealed today, is it really an epidemic? Is it really a national scandal? Or do we, and to an extent, say, if there's more people like Alex finding happiness in other relationships, raising their children in a happier environment rather than a potentially toxic one, it's not something to lament and wring our hands about. It's something to say, good. It's a good thing. It's a sign of progress. 0345 6060 973. More of your thoughts and calls to come on that in a couple of minutes' time. First, though, 6:35 the time. Quite an incredible story today about AI and the dangers it poses. A voiceover artist claims that her voice data is being used by ScotRail for its new AI train announcements without her permission, leaving her feeling violated and lacking control over how her own voice in part is being used. Rebecca Brady is LBC's reporter in Edinburgh, who has been speaking to this voiceover artist, Gayen Potter. And Rebecca, she's clearly not happy, and it's not hard to see why. Evening.
Absolutely, Ben. Heartbreaking, devastating and violating are just some of the words that Gayen Potter has used to describe her voice being used without consent. Even as one of the UK's leading voiceover artists, she's been fighting for 2 years now to stop a Swedish company called ReadSpeaker selling an AI tool based on her audio. And then just a few days ago, this happened.
We are now approaching Glasgow Central. Please mind the gap when alighting from this train.
That's the AI version of Gayen, known as Iona, which has been revealed as ScotRail's new announcer. I was with Gayen as she heard that for the very first time.
I felt absolutely sick. I felt devastated. I've been fighting this for 2 years to have this version of my voice removed from the internet by a specific company that hold my voice data, and they're refusing. So to find out that ScotRail were using it for the new AI announcer was absolutely devastating.
Of course, this is just a product that ScotRail bought from ReadSpeaker, but legal teams are struggling to stop the sales. Ms. Potter's lawyer, Mathilde Pavie, told me it's a similar issue that artists like Elton John are facing.
You can't do good business in a space where you don't have clear regulation. AI needs to train on content in order to be able to learn, quote unquote, a task. And many artists, rightly so, say that if your tool is going to compete with me by creating content that comes close to what I sell for a living, and if you're going to use my previous work in order to create that technology, we should sit down and talk about a revenue share.
ScotRail now says it has no plans to stop using this voice, and it's an issue for Ms. Potter to take up with ReadSpeaker. Meanwhile, ReadSpeaker says it has a contract regarding the use of Gayen's voice. A spokesperson says they're aware of her concerns and have comprehensively addressed those. Gayen, though, tells me that she did some limited work with ReadSpeaker in 2021 before this kind of AI technology existed, so how could she consent to that? Gayen is turning now to the government, calling for tighter regulations on AI, GDPR and copyright.
We need protected. The politicians need to stand up and make a point. We need legislation to protect us. Because apart from just being my voice as a professional voiceover actress that's being abused, as a human being, I feel violated. My right to know who has my biometric data has been abused. I should know where my voice is and who owns it and have the right to withdraw consent.
This may be a personal battle, Ben, but as AI advances, it could impact millions of us across the UK very soon.
Absolutely right, Rebecca. That's outrageous, isn't it? Thank you, Rebecca. Rebecca Brady, LBC's reporter in Edinburgh. Coming for the voiceover artists, it's coming for the radio presenters next, isn't it? Let's be honest. 6:39 is the time. Let's come back to our calls, or your calls, I should say, about marriage breakdown. It's at record levels in the United Kingdom. Almost half of teenagers now only living with one parent. What's causing that, and is it a problem or not? Charlotte's a new caller in Richmond this evening. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hi.
Good to have you with us. Welcome. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I do think one issue, especially with younger generations coming up, is kind of the accessibility and availability of technology and kind of dating apps and the likes that wouldn't have been available, I guess, to previous generations. I think if I look at my parents and grandparents, you know, they didn't have a mobile phone with internet access in their hands at all times. Advertising wasn't pushing the likes of these dating apps. And I, you know, especially in my social circle, there's a large number of couples who have broken up due to infidelity. You know, I don't think it's always a good thing for a couple to break up. Like you said in a few of the previous callers, if it's a toxic relationship and, you know, children are involved, then I don't think it's good. But that's something that's new. And I think it's something that, especially in a culture of immediate gratification, as one of your previous callers said, it's kind of a recipe for a disaster.
Because the sort of the potential alternatives are infinite. I mean, they're not quite infinite, but they're almost into the billions. Because in the palm of your hand, you have access to countless, literally countless other people for the first time in human history, Charlotte, don't you? So it's not a case of, well, this relationship isn't perfect, but actually it's probably the best that I can end up with. People feel that the world is out there, and if there's anything that maybe isn't quite right, they just end it and get back on these apps.
Yeah, no, of course. And I think, you know, if there are things that are not working or things that, you know, break down between the two of you, I think people are less likely to work on it and to look for improvements, or to just accept that, you know, you're not necessarily going to reach perfection if actually they can have a pool of other people who they can tap into whenever they like. And I just think, you know, it's a sad reality because it does lead to the breakdown of marriages and families. But yeah, it's just there at our fingertips.
I'm glad I'm really glad you brought in the sort of the modern dating element of it, because I do think dating apps promote this sort of idea that you wait and you swipe and you swipe and you go on date after date until you find the absolute perfect relationship, which doesn't exist for many people.
I don't think it does, no. I don't think it does. I think no person is perfect, and therefore no relationship can be perfect.
Absolutely.
But unfortunately, we're being sold this idea that you can find that. It's
raised the bar.
Really.
And there's, you know, raising the bar in terms of people saying, well, actually, I want to be happy in my marriage. That's a good thing. But if it's now getting to the point where people say, I want my relationship to be perfect in every way, and if it isn't, I'll go and find somebody else, that's not a good thing because it's unrealistic.
Of course. And I think often in these cases, they don't even necessarily end up with the people that they go and cheat with on these dating apps and things like that, you know, because they realise actually there isn't
the grass isn't
anywhere.
Greener. There might be a lot of grass just the other side of the fence, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's greener. Charlotte, really, really interesting. Thank you for raising that element, which we hadn't touched on, but I think it's a really important part of this. Darren is a caller in Hammersmith this evening. Darren, not a new caller, but welcome back.
Hello, Ben. How are you? You're
yeah, I'm good. Good to talk to you.
I was just coming from it from a slightly different angle. I personally believe that it's a lot of the reason, and everything's been said so far, I think it's quite valid, but a lot of the reason is choice. I think that there is less stigma around the idea of standing up and saying, actually, I'm not happy, and actually, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. And I think I personally, from my personal experience, my parents are 70 years old and been married for 35 years and are going for a divorce now.
What prompted that after so long?
I mean, it's not my business sort of tell on national radio, but some things happened, and my mum stood up and said that she wasn't happy. But I actually remember now a conversation I had with my dad around my 18th birthday, where he said to me, son, actually, I'm not happy with your mum. And I've kind of waited until you were 18, happy for a long time.
Wow.
Waited until you were 18, and and to see what I'm going to do. And actually, they gave it a go. They went away on holiday. They tried, and they sort of managed to squeeze another sort of decade and a bit out of it.
The language you used, Darren, you squeeze another decade of it. It was never a marriage that was, well, at least as long as you've been aware, a marriage that was particularly happy.
No. And you look back now. What was your normality? Actually, you realise is as you get older, you realise there's two very unhappy people living largely separate lives.
What do you think kept them together then?
I think they are. There was an old school. They tried. What I will say is, I think when people are married for sort of, for a few years and then it just goes quite quickly, you can always lay the, you have tried hard enough. I think, three and a half decades onwards, they've tried.
That's a pretty good
they've
go, worked. Yeah.
They've done it. And over the years, they've done all of it. They've done all of the breakaways, they've done the counselling, they've done all of it.
Yeah.
It hasn't worked. And when my mom said, actually, I don't want to do this anymore, I had nothing but support to give to her, because she's not saying I don't do this because I wouldn't be with someone else. She just said I just can't be with you. And actually, because they're quite mature, the way she came at it was sort of like, I'm happy to support you, I'm happy to do X, Y, Z for you, but I can't live and share a space with you anymore.
Understood.
Because I've been having such a long time. And so I think it's very easy, and I think it's very easy for people from the outside to have an opinion on it.
Yes.
But I think that anybody, as the gentleman earlier, anyone who's been in an unhappy relationship for a quantitative amount of time and has to share a space with somebody when they're so unhappy, it's, I'm all for the idea that, yes, work it, yes, try.
But
I'm all for the idea that actually, when it doesn't work, and you're
if
happy,
it's not working, then walk away in a way that people didn't. Absolutely. I completely agree with you, Dan. As your child, just if this isn't too personal a question, as their child, would you like it if they'd split up earlier for their own sake, perhaps as much as yours?
Because I tell you what, one of my great mates, he's got his parents. Their parents again, roughly the same age and about the same time. And as long as I've known that family, that has been a miserable, toxic, and awful relationship and space to be in, right?
Yeah.
For as long as I've known him, and he says to me the other day, almost like he was a bit jealous of the fact that my parents were, and I'm like, well, actually, trust me, nobody wants to be dealing with their parents divorcing at that age. It is on the face of it.
Of course.
He's really struggling. And I look back and I think, actually, do you know what? If they'd done this years ago, I almost wish they had them, because I feel like they would have had a better shot.
And they would have been happier, and maybe the children would have been happy too, who knows. Darren, really interesting, thank you. And this is why I think the language of family breakdown and failed marriages is, it's a bit dangerous almost, because if we're talking here about more people ending unhappy, even toxic relationships in a way that they wouldn't in years have gone past, that's not something to cry over. That's something to say, well, good, isn't it? 0345 6060 973. Ben Kentish here on LBC 646.
Coming up at 7 on LBC, Ian Dale.
There was more than an echo of Jeremy Corbyn in what Nigel Farage was saying today. He's painting himself as the voice of the working classes. Is he? Really?
Ian Dale on LBC.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand finished, and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't diver, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
The Steakhouse Stack, with two layers of delicious beef, crispy onions and peppercorn sauce. It's the kind of McDonald's you take photos of to put pride of place on the mantelpiece. Sure, you'll need to make room, but you remember what your wedding day looked like? The Steakhouse Stack. It's McDonald's, and then some. Available until the 17th of June. Served from 11 a.m. Subject to availability, participating restaurants only.
Ready?
Steady! The Toyotathon sale event is on!
Race down to your nearest Toyota centre and save up to an extra £1,000 on a new Toyota. But hurry! Deals must end 31st of May. The Toyotathon sale event is on! Offer valid on eligible new vehicle orders 1st to 31st of May and registered by 31st of July 2025. Retail customers only. T&Cs apply. See toyota.co.uk for details.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC with Ben Kentish.
6:49 the time. Let me come right back to your calls about family breakdown, record levels, record proportions in this country. 45% of teens not living with both parents as things stand. Why? What is driving that? What is fueling that? And should we care? Or is it something that actually we think, well, good if more unhappy relationships are ending? Let's talk to Ryan, another new caller this evening in Sydenham. Welcome, Ryan.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. I'm very well. How are you, sir?
I'm good. So, my take on things is basically I grew up in a home where my parents separated at the age of 10.
Mm.
That sort of made a mark on me myself, but then sort of going forward, I actually met my partner, it would be 29 years ago this year, but remained happily married since. I think sort of from what happened to my parents, and I met Ellie, my partner, we were just kind of having a good time and what have you, you know, neither of us were looking for anything long term or what have you.
And here you are 29 years later.
29 years later, and you know, I was always up front with her, my parents both remarried and in the time that we've sort of stayed together.
So you never got married, is that right, you and Ellie?
Got married. We're still not married.
Yep.
We've had two children, two great kids, both like teenagers now. On that point as well, I mean, we kind of thought we had 10 years together before we had our children, and I think that was perhaps a factor in our relationship in terms of older, and let's say they kind of, you know, we're nearly finished in there. You know, they're getting older now, but space that we had, I mean, it never really needed seeding with a marriage. I think we both kind of accepting of that. I mean, Ellie was very accepting of me saying we've been together a little while, because sometimes, you know, there's perhaps a blueprint, isn't there? You've been together a while.
But our previous caller, I think it was Richard, Ryan, who said if you're cohabiting and you're in a long-term relationship and you are not married, you lack the resilience that marriage brings. I mean, you're sort of evidence of why that's wrong, aren't you?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Here you are 29 years later saying resilience. I mean, we've got quite a lot of that. 30 years together.
Yeah, there's definitely something there. I mean, also Charlotte, the caller a couple of back mentioned, which, you know, is a modern thing with the dating apps and that, you know, swipe left, swipe right. Yeah, the pressure nowadays for perfection and that.
Do you think that's real? That sort of problem
that
Charlotte
has to add to that. It's not. Of course, let's be real in that sense. It isn't real, is it? You know, I mean, life is painted now on Instagram and...
The phenomenon of people kind of ending relationships because it's not perfect and they think that something out there might be, that's a real issue.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously, onto the fact that if it's a toxic relationship and, you know, obviously people are deeply unhappy, then don't.
Of course.
Don't out. But, it's basically the fact that perhaps you don't want to get married, you don't have to get married. I mean, it's obviously perhaps, you know, it's a bride's day more than a groom, isn't it, really?
Well, I found out last autumn, Ryan, I thought, is my
groom? There you go. Yeah.
You're planning a wedding, nobody cares what you as the groom. No, I'm joking.
Exactly. Were you in any pictures?
I had an input. I was a guest of honour at my own wedding, I would say, right?
No, quite, I'm really kidding. Quite.
But it is. That is how it is. But I think that's... I was quite happy with that, to be honest. My wife had stronger opinions on things and stronger preferences than me, so fair enough.
Exactly. I mean, the same here. If Elliot insisted that we get married, then I probably would have done it.
Yeah, I wanted to do it. If I'd met someone who didn't, and very strongly didn't, it wouldn't have been a sort of game changer for me. But personally, I quite like being married. I take your point. I don't think it brings anything that not being married doesn't. It's just something that I've always quite wanted to do myself. Thank you, Ryan. Really interesting call. Nathaniel's in Dover this evening. Hi, Nathaniel.
Evening, Ben.
Evening to you. Yeah, I'm fine. Thoughts?
So I met my partner when dating apps started becoming popular and bits of that. And we actually, to a trend, I came out of a relationship from someone I met online. And fast forward 17 years, still together. So I did both. I met someone online, did the whole online relationship that lasted 3 months. I accidentally met my partner at college.
How'd you accidentally meet?
Because I was friends with one of her friends.
Right.
And she was with her mate. And we just happened to meet in the library with her friend, who was also my friend. And then we got separated from that person. And we sort of just went, should we go get some lunch together in town? And it sort of gelled from there. It wasn't actually one of these. So I tried both. I tried the whole really trying my best to put my best version of myself forwards on a dating app.
Mm.
Didn't work because you're not always your best self.
Well, you're not yourself. I mean, it's an illusion. It's a sort of carefully curated perception of who you are and what your life is like that people spend hours deliberating over. Should I have that photo? Does that make me look friendly? Am I smiling too much? Do I look too key? You know, it's not real. It's not who you are.
Even the overthinking for hours of what do I put in my bio, you know, the problem you've got is, and it is a curse of my generation, being a 90s kid that I am, it's social media, with like the previous caller said, setting up where people put their dirty laundry online as well. People are being encouraged to create dramas on social media rather than talking to their partner.
People are sort of airing their grievances on Facebook and X and what have you rather than actually communicate? Is that happening?
Well, I from what I've seen, you know, anecdotally, if you get people who love bomb their partners on social media, always posting up photos saying, oh, I love you so much, they don't seem to last long together. Compared to the couples who just get on with it, who just post things together and just have a good time.
Or just tell each other. You see these couples sort of on Valentine's Day sitting next to each other, both posting Instagram messages about each other on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
Just tell them to their face.
I think the secret, and me and my partner spoke about this, I think the reason why we've managed to stay together compared to my parents, who they went through a very messy divorce, and it sort of, like previous caller, left a mark on me. What we do, we don't have big arguments because we don't let it get to big arguments. We would rather bicker about me accidentally putting the butter in the cupboard than putting the bread in the fridge.
That sounds familiar, Nathaniel.
Build up into something, an oh my God drama. And when we do get the oh my God dramas, we're able to actually, you know, work it out and actually talk about it, rather than going onto the social medias, messaging my best mate, slating her to high heaven. You know, I think the key to it is social media's got a big part to play with the false expectations and the pressures expected on my generation to do everything digitally.
Interesting. Really interesting, Nathaniel. It's not just the expectations, it's actually how people are responding when there is difficulty or tension or strife, as there is in any relationship at some point. Rather than communicating, getting it through together, people are turning to other outlets, the online world maybe, to get their grievances out there. Thanks, Nathaniel. I hadn't thought of that. It's a really interesting perspective. Let's finish, I think, this conversation with Marius in Northampton. Hi, Marius. Last word to you, I think, sir.
Hello, the hell are you?
Make it a good one. Go on. I'm fine, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Marriage breakdown. Problem or something that we should just say, well, it's not a bad thing after all if people are leaving unhappy relationships?
Well, I just think that in modern life, social media, it kind of amplifies, it highlights things that were there anyway. And in my parents' life, in their marriage, they had nothing to begin with. They brought up 3 children. And when they had money, that's when it all fell apart. It's because my mother and my father wanted to spend it in completely different ways.
Oh, really? What was the sort of difference of agreement?
Well, my mother wanted my parents to sell the family home and move to a better postcode area. It's got nothing to do with better schools. It was just my mother wanted to constantly improve the home and the geographical position, if you like.
And your dad?
My dad said, look, we had a lovely big house, garage, all the rest of it. He said, we've got a lovely house. We've got three children that are getting bigger. They're almost adults. We've got a big house, adequate for three adults plus us two. Why am I going to burden myself with a bigger mortgage for a smaller house, given that my children are becoming adults?
So and they couldn't find a way to resolve that difference?
For years, my parents tried to resolve their issues. It was not about infidelity. Isn't it?
When you hear about people who do get divorced, it's almost always after a long, long period of trying to make it work.
Yes.
It's not the case that people are just chucking in the towel at the first sign of a disagreement.
No. Mm. I mean, my brother, my eldest brother, he met a girl who had three children, three small boys.
Mara, I've just got to warn you, got about 10 seconds left, if that's okay.
Sorry.
Not at all.
It's not always about infidelity. It's not always about toxic relationships. It's about people growing apart.
Really, really nicely summarised. Thank you, Marius. Appreciate it. I've got to hand over to Ian, but thank you very much indeed for wrapping up that conversation, wrapping up the show. That's it from me for tonight. We are out of time. I'll be back with you 4 o'clock tomorrow in for Thomas Warbrick again. Don't forget today's show on both Catch Up and Global Player and the brand new LBC app, where you can stay up to date with all the latest news and opinion, put your news categories in the order that you want, pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts. Get the all new official LBC app for free from your app store right now. Coming up at 10 here on LBC, Simon Marks. Right now, time for Ian Dale.
Thanks, Ben. Nigel Farage seems to be on a bit of a political journey. He claims Margaret Thatcher is his inspiration, but today there was more than an echo of Jeremy Corbyn in what he was saying. He's adopting some quite left-wing economic policies and painting himself as the voice of the working classes. Is he really? He's also painting the Tories out of the political picture and says he's